That's our victory through Jesus Christ. We're in the book of Colossians again this morning. And we're in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 16 through 19. And I want to read the entire text, and then I want to come back to it. Verse 16 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." So it's saying, don't let anybody judge you on external things. Verse 17, "But you are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and hands and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God." The Apostle Paul taught that legalism must be strongly opposed. And most of the epistles have something negative to say about what we would call legalism. The book of Galatians is especially an attack on legalism. And legalism is where an external thing is lifted up as a sign of holiness, or something that somebody must do externally in order to make it to heaven. On Wednesday night, we recently learned that false teachers at Ephesus were teaching that they should not get married, and that they should abstain from meats. In essence, they were involving themselves in dietary laws, and they were trying to restrict marriage among the people in the church at Ephesus. Not the church leaders, but false teachers who had snuck in, come in unawares. Paul called those things in 1 Timothy, as we talked about last Wednesday night, he called those things doctrines of demons. So I'm telling you, Paul doesn't have a whole lot of respect for false teaching in the church. He doesn't have a whole lot of respect for false doctrine. He didn't view legalism as just a minor sin. The heart of legalism is an attitude of pride. The legalist prides himself for keeping certain standards, and he judges others who don't keep the same standards that he has. The legalist thinks that he gains God's favor by keeping the rules. How do we gain God's favor? Do you know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is unearned favor. Grace is God's undeserved favor. And since you're saved by grace, and everything that you get from God comes by his grace, which is his undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor, how do we receive God's favor? Not by earning it. Not by works. Not by what we do. We receive God's grace through faith, through trusting in Him, believing in Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's free. But legalists want to try to tell us that we have to do this list of things in order to get saved, and then another list in order to stay saved. And I'm telling you, the list is wrong. We get saved by grace through faith, and we stay saved by grace through faith. And if we have faith in God, there is a relationship that is built between us and God, and we begin to love God, and we begin to do things for God. And people see us doing things for God, and they get the idea that, oh, that's what I have to do if I'm going to go to heaven. That's what I have to do if I'm going to go to heaven. And so they play cards just like you do. They drive just like you do. Everything you do, they think that's how they ought to do it. And they're focusing on the externals when it's not about the externals, it's about the heart. It's about faith. Because we have faith, there are certain externals that we will have. We will show our love to God. But there's not a list. So the legalists are the ones who build up this list of standards, and they think that by keeping certain standards that they can get to heaven, they can earn God's favor. And then they judge others who do not keep those standards. Dr. Charles Ryrie, in Balancing the Christian Life, defined legalism as a fleshly attitude which conforms to a code for the purpose of exalting self. A fleshly attitude which conforms to a code, a standard, for the purpose of exalting self. Let's look at verse 16 again. Reject legalism. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Reject legalism. That's what he's saying. I use the word reject here in my title because we need to see legalism for what it is. Now hold tight here because some of you are going to be offended. Hold on, all right? What we call holiness is often legalism. What we call holiness is often legalism. And Paul calls it a sin. And he tells us that we are to reject legalism. Christians have tolerated no sin more than the sin of legalism. In fact, many Christians are surprised to hear that legalism is even a sin. Legalists are normally thought of as overzealous or super spiritual, but they're never thought of as sinners. They certainly aren't mentioned in the same breath with adulterers and thieves and other such things. On the contrary, legalists are often seen as promoting holiness. But how can we call it holiness when it is sin. Who can make us holy? Jesus, that's it. And if Jesus is the only one who can make us holy, then why do we call this stuff holiness when it's actually legalism? And why are we bound by it? Why do we allow legalists to corner us on things? And they've been doing it for centuries. You know, at one time, they thought they were teaching it from the Bible, but they taught that you ought to have slaves. And they thought slavery was biblical. In my lifetime, I grew up in Odessa, Texas, and we had four high schools in Odessa, Texas. We had Permian High School, where all of the rich kids went, whose dads made millions in the oil field. We had Odessa High School, where all of the middle and lower class white kids went. That's where I wound up, Odessa High School. And then we had Ector High School, where all of the Hispanic kids went. And then we had Blackshear High School, which was sheer black. Those were the four high schools in my town where I grew up. And if a white man married a black woman, he was breaking God's law, according to what they taught. That was legalism and nothing but. It was a rule that did not come out of the Bible, that came out of somebody's head. Legalism. Most of you ladies grew up in a church where you were told you had to wear a dress, and that if the woman wore pants, that she was not a real Christian because she wore pants. You remember that? I mean, I am old enough that I preached that kind of mess at one time. I preached a sermon one time called Bobbed Hair, Bossy Wives, and Women Preachers. And I was against all of them. That was back when I was in the Baptist church, before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Women couldn't cut their hair. Women had to be subservient in the home. And they certainly couldn't preach. They couldn't wear makeup. They couldn't wear pants. You know what that's called? Legalism. That's not Bible. Now, I'm sure they cherry-picked a few verses to try and make it seem like it was Bible. The sermon that I preached was actually one from a guy named Dr. John R. Rice. And he cherry-picked some verses, and I believed them. I fell for it. One day I learned better. Legalism, folks. It's all over the place. And we need to be careful with it. Paul calls it a sin, where we make rules for other people to keep and tell them that if they don't keep those rules, they can't go to heaven. You know what the funny thing about those rules are? The legalist generally picks rules that are convenient for the legalist. It may not be convenient for everybody else, but they're at least convenient for the legalist. The legalist, his wife probably looks just fine without makeup. So he preaches that a woman shouldn't wear any makeup, or she's going to go to hell. Yeah. A 150 years ago, they taught a different brand of legalism than what we teach today. But there's still legalism, and God hates it. Look at the legalism that they had back in Paul's day, as we see here in verse 16. Don't eat certain meats. Don't drink certain beverages. Have respect for holy days, for the new moon, which was a monthly holy day, and for the Sabbath day. You had to keep those rules if you were going to go to heaven. Externals, outward rules. You had to do these things in order to make it to heaven. And we still have it today. Lots of it. Back when we were in Socorro, about 35 years ago, there was a family that came to our church that I was doing my best to help them, trying not to offend them while doing my best to teach them grace, holding on to them, hoping they'd stay long enough that we could get some grace into them. And they thought that it was demonic to celebrate Christmas. They thought that it was demonic to use the word Easter. And Halloween, button down the hatches and close all the doors, lock all the windows. And these people were so caught up in demons. There was a demon under every rock. Seriously. A demon here, a demon there, a demon everywhere. Everything was all about demons. And if you do this, you're going to get a demon. I mean, everything was demonic. They had me worked up. They were telling me about this group in Socorro. This doctor and the mayor and a city council member and a bunch of others. And this teenage boy that was in high school, about 6'6", bright red hair. Curly, bright red hair. He was supposedly the warlock who led this group. And these doctors and the mayor and all of these people were following this teenage boy. So I was praying for this teenage boy. And one night, they told me that they were having this meeting up in the mountain outside of Socorro. I got in my truck and I drove out there. And this boy says, I can hear him. And he says, "We've been expecting you, Roger." I was startled. I could hear the voice, but I couldn't see him. So I started walking towards it and I'm thinking, I'm gonna just command the demons out of these people. And I'm walking towards them. And I come around this tree. And there he is, and he's levitating about 6 foot off of the ground. And then I woke up. It had me for a minute in my dream, honestly. Oh. But you see how people get worked up over that kind of stuff. They get sucked into it. This legalism of you got to do these things or you're going to get a demon. You got to do these things or else God's not going to be pleased with you. You've got to do all of these external, outward things when God wants to see your heart. We don't do all of those things in order to gain God's favor. We do those things because we have God's favor. Because we love God. And he loved us first. So they had a severe problem with legalism at the Colossian church. And Paul hated it. It creates rules that are not in the Bible to promote a bogus form of holiness based on the flesh, leads people away from depending on Christ, leads them into a system of man-made rules, and causes pride and judgmentalism, destroys the church. We don't need it. Look at verse 17, Colossians 2:17. It says those things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So they were picking up Old Testament rules and bringing them forward and saying, oh, you've got to do this because it's in the Old Testament. You have to do this because it's in the Old Testament. You've got to do that because it's in the Old Testament. The false teachers set themselves up as judges to proclaim right and wrong. And they wrote the rules. And they declared that anyone who didn't follow the rules was not spiritual. We had a gal in one of our churches one time. She would tell me how much she liked me and how much she really, you know, liked my preaching and all of this. And then she would have prayer meetings in her home, and she would gather a bunch of people together, and then she would pray for God to please bless our pastor because he's just not spiritual. Please make our pastor spiritual. Yeah. Please make our pastor spiritual. Bless him, Lord. They had their own list of external things that a pastor would do if he was truly spiritual. So, anyone who doesn't follow those rules is not spiritual. They force people to keep holy days, feasts, Sabbaths, all according to verse 16 here. Now, this is the interesting thing. Paul says those things were a shadow. So let's get a picture of what's going on here. Let's say Jesus comes to our church in bodily form. All right? Be awesome. Nothing greater could happen. So Jesus comes to our church in bodily form. And instead of us focusing on Jesus and recognizing him, could say, oh, look at the shadow he makes. Isn't that a cool shadow? I really like his shadow. That's the neatest shadow I've ever seen. Here's Jesus standing right here, but we don't talk to him. We spend all our time talking about the shadow. See? Well, that's what we do when we get caught up in Old Testament rituals. We're caught up in the shadow of Jesus that was looking forward to the coming of Jesus instead of focusing on Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here, that these people were causing the Colossian church to do. Instead of seeing Jesus, they were just seeing the shadow. They were just following all of these old rituals. You can't have a garment that has mixed clothing, that has mixed strings in it. If you have wool, you can't have cotton with it, you know. You can't drink certain things. You can't eat certain things. And caught up in all of these old rules and focusing on the externals. You can't eat pork. You can't have ham. You know, you can't eat shellfish. All of these externals. Instead of focusing on Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. The externals. Instead of having a heart that is right towards him. And so Paul says, reject that stuff. He calls it sin. And we ought to reject it. The body is of Christ. There's still people who tell us that we are supposed to keep a Christian Sabbath. And this kind of fluctuates depending on who it is we're talking to. Who it is talking about it. We keep a Christian Sabbath. Go back and read verse 16 again. Let's flip back to that. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Let me tell you something. If Paul wanted us to keep the Sabbath, he missed a very good place to tell us right there. If we were supposed to keep the Sabbath, that was where he should have included that message. The New Testament commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All right? It does tell us that. It tells us that the early church gathered on the first day of the week. That's our church. That's us. That's the new covenant. According to Acts 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, 2, they gathered on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. So we have an example to follow. Revelation 1:10 calls Sunday the Lord's Day. Hebrews 4 teaches that by believing in Jesus, we enter into God's Sabbath, which is a spiritual thing, not an external thing. We can also infer from God's resting on the seventh day that we should have a day that we set aside for rest. We can infer from that. But it drives me crazy to see what some people think about Sundays. I've had people tell me that you shouldn't watch a football game on Sunday because that's sin. I've had people tell me that you should not discuss anything secular on a Sunday because that's sin. I've had people tell me you shouldn't even stop on the way home and get a loaf of bread because that's sin. I've had people tell me you shouldn't go out and eat on a Sunday because if you do, you're making somebody else work on Sunday, and that's sin. I mean, all of these external lame rules that people try to make us follow, God hated that. And he still does. They argue that we sin if we don't do what they do on Sunday. You see, they're making up rules that are convenient for them and then forcing those rules on us. That's exactly what was happening in the Colossian church. Can't even go to the park on Sunday because that would be sin. I don't read that in my Bible. That's legalism. That's legalism gone to seed, what that is. It's evil. It's wicked. And that's what Paul was battling at the church at Colossae. And we're still fighting it today. They emphasized the externals over the matters of the heart. Paul said they're only worshiping the shadow, and they're not worshiping the real thing. Point number three. Legalists are just proud to be humble. I'm just so proud to be humble. Colossians 2:18 says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." I've told you about how the Colossian false teachers had this ladder they wanted you to climb. Well, each step of the ladder had an angel on it, and you had to worship these angels in order to make it to heaven. Paul said, no, there is no ladder. And if there was a ladder, Jesus would be the whole thing. But there's not one. Let no man beguile you. Another translation says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions that he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. They were just proud to be humble. Let no one continue to defraud you of your prize. False teachers defraud you by making up their own rules, but that's not good enough for them. The rules change as you go along. At one time, it was not okay for women to wear certain types of clothes. And then it changed to, if you don't wear these types of clothes, you're not part of our group. At one time, it was wrong for women to wear makeup. And then I've seen churches where the women get together and have this big thing where they all buy this makeup that the pastor's wife is selling. And if you don't buy the makeup from the pastor's wife, then you don't fit in. You can't be part of their group. The rules change. And if you don't play by their rules, they disqualify you from the contest. They question your salvation because you didn't follow the rules they made up. Paul said it's not about their rules, it's about Jesus. Jesus is supreme. He said they delight in self-abasement. And Paul is being sarcastic there. That's where I got the term proud to be humble. They delight, they're happy about their self-abasement, their humility. They're just so proud to be humble. They take pride in their dietary rules. They take pride in denying themselves of things that the Bible doesn't deny, but they deny them, and they're proud of it. They're just proud to be humble. The point is, legalists don't seek to exalt God. They exalt self. Legalists operate in the flesh, not in the spirit. They take pride in externals that can be judged outwardly and not holding the head. I was thinking about this week. As earlier this week, I saw a report that televangelist Jim Baker was selling some kind of silver solution that he claimed would cure the coronavirus for only $125 a bottle. A cure. $125 a bottle. And if you don't buy it, well, it's just because you don't have the wisdom and the intelligence that Jim Baker has. You know what that is? That is a false teacher. And he has all the signs of a false teacher. He has a false humility. He has a scam. And he's not exalting Christ. He's either exalting himself through what he sells, or he's exalting himself through his supposed superior knowledge, but not Christ. And I'm sorry if you love Jim Baker, but I'll tell you very plain, he is a false teacher, and you ought to run the other way. And then later in the week, that was the first part of the week. Later in the week, Kenneth Copeland is on TV. And he's saying, there are people within the sound of my voice. They're being healed from the coronavirus through your television right now. And I'm thinking, every last person who has the coronavirus is being tracked by the CDC. And I'll be really interested to know how many write to the CDC and say, I got healed from coronavirus by listening to Kenneth Copeland on television. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher. That's just how it is. And that's what they had in Colossae. False teachers that were lifting up themselves, that were exalting their methods, exalting their teachings over Christ, exalting the externals. Kenneth Copeland says, you send me money, and God will bless you. You send me money, God's going to bless you. In the meantime, he's got jets that are worth $60 million. Yeah. He won't take you for a ride, though. He won't let you get on his jet. They use the scriptures to exalt themselves. They take things out of context and they twist it around to make it seem like they are such great, great people. When who does the scripture really exalt? Jesus. Jesus. And to grow as a Christian, what are you supposed to hold on to? Jesus. Jesus. Don't get enamored with things other than Christ. Hold on to Christ. So throughout the book of Colossians, Paul has told us that Jesus is superior. That Jesus is above all. And that's continually what he's stating in every passage. And that's what he's stating in this one as well. Jesus is above the false teachers. Jesus is above their false teachings. Hold on to Christ. It's about your heart having faith in Christ, having love for Christ. It's not about the externals. Those things can come later. There's no set list of externals. It's about loving God, loving others. It's about Christ. You know, it's one of the things that's always kind of surprised me about the list that false teachers give out. I never see those two things on it. Those are the two great commandments. Jesus called it the first great commandment is to love the Lord your God. And the second great commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, why don't those two commandments wind up on the list of these false teachers? That's one of the ways you can tell they're false teachers. They don't tell you to love God. They want you to love them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your word. And I thank you, Father, that you've not left us vain, thoughtless, or foolish. But Father, you've given us the text of your Bible, the text of Scripture, that we may know how we are to live, that we will not be taken advantage of by wolves, but that we can live according to your plan and have your grace and your love in our hearts. And we can then share that grace and that love with others around us. And Lord, I pray that you help us do that in Jesus' name. Amen.